Hey guys, it's great to be able to share with you today. You know, in our church the last couple of months, we've been exploring the story of Ruth and her ups and downs and her struggles, especially in uncertain times. And actually as a church, we've also spent a heck of a lot of time recently just talking about struggles in life, talking about how to support each other, how we can grow. And the other day in Bible study, we were talking about why do bad things happen to good people. And one person chirped up with a great thought, and they talked about the struggles they'd been through, and they'd been through a heck of a lot of struggles. And what they shared with us was that all the struggles they'd gone through had helped define them and make them the person they are today. And they didn't fully understand why they'd gone through what they'd gone through, but they know that what they'd gone through had caused actually a lot of good as well as a lot of bad in their lives. And it reminded me of a great quote by Soren Kierkegaard, who said this. He said, "Life is best read backwards, but has to be lived forwards. Life is best read backwards, but has to be lived forwards." And it's so true for many of us. I'm sure we've all been through good times and bad times as well. We've all been through those moments where we don't know what to do. And then suddenly, when we've looked back on those times later on, we've seen how our life's worked through, how things have helped us and benefited us, how our situation's changed, maybe over time or in a moment. And today we're just going to finish looking at the story of Ruth. For those of you who haven't listened to us so far and maybe joining us, the story of Ruth starts off with Naomi and her husband Elimelech, and they go from Israel, because there's a famine, to Moab, a neighboring country. And when they get there, their boys grow up, the boys get married to Moabite women. And what happens is Naomi's husband dies and both her sons die. So she's stuck in a foreign country with her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah. And now what she does says to them, said Ruth and Orpah, she goes, "You go home to your families, there's nothing I can offer you." But Ruth turns around and says this. She says, "Naomi, I'm going to stick with you no matter what." And we read the stories, it continues, and Naomi goes through real deep depression. She thinks God has abandoned her. And they go their thing of having to literally scrape to survive. Ruth goes into fields just to pick up barley, to get that to be left by the farmers. Now what happens is one of the farmers spots her Boaz, and it turns out that Boaz, in Jewish law, was the person who was down the line to marry and look after Ruth. So after a bit of matchmaking, Naomi, Ruth eventually marries Boaz. And we have this great picture of how God had been working things out in the background, how God put Ruth in the right field, how the right person was Boaz to help her. All these things God had been doing behind the scenes, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of struggle. And that's where I want to join the story today. Ruth has married Boaz. And in chapter 4, we discover that Ruth and Boaz have a son called Obed. And this is what it says, Ruth chapter 4, verses 14 to 17. "The woman said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better than seven sons, has given birth to him.' Then Naomi looked at the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, 'Naomi has a son.'" Now this is a great ending of the story. You've got Naomi, who's lost everything, who in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth was just at her lowest wits. We have this picture of her holding baby Obed. You know, the joy, you get this picture of joy sort of painted here. That she was just over the moon because she thought her life was over. She thought God had poured bitterness on her. But right at the end of this story, we see her holding the baby, holding her grandson. Just over the moon of what God had done. And I love what is said here in verse 14. It says, "The woman of the village, the woman of the community in Bethlehem, turn and say this, 'Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer.'" And when I read this, I'm like, the bit that jumped out to me is them saying these words to Naomi, "The Lord has not left you." Then the next bit is without a kinsman redeemer. It is like the Lord hasn't abandoned you without a plan. God hasn't left you, Naomi. God never left you for one moment. Even in the days that you thought God had left you, Naomi, God hasn't left you. And I know I've really, personally as a pastor, I've harped on about this for the last few months, and you might get really annoyed by me keep on saying this. But guys, God hasn't left you. And when these women said this to Naomi, I got this picture of this being the same woman who in Ruth chapter 1, Naomi had gone up to, and who didn't recognize Naomi because she looked so gaunt and so worn from the struggles that she'd been through. The same woman who Naomi had said, call me Mara, which means bitter, because of everything that's happened. These same women from chapter 1 to chapter 4 could turn around and say, Naomi, you may have been bitter, but look, God has never left you. God has never left you without a plan. God has never left you without a hope. God has never left you. And I know we got the bit at the end there that says, God has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. But if you allow me to have some preacher's license here, I'd like to say this. I could read the story for this. That God is saying to you listening to this message today, God has not left you without a. God has not left you without a hope. God has not left you without a plan. God has not left you without a future job. God has not left you without people around you to support and love you to take you forward. God has not left you without Christians who love and to believe in you. God has not left you. God has not left you. You know, I firmly believe in our darkest tragedies and our darkest moments, when our world feels like it is completely imploded, when our world feels really tough, like we don't know how to go on, God hasn't left us. God has not left us. He's not left us without a hope and without a plan. Guys, I really want this to go to you from your heads to your hearts, because I think it's so true today. God has not left you without a plan. God has not left you without a hope. If you're feeling dark and down in the dumps at the moment, you're feeling like, oh, how do I keep going? I want to tell you this. God has not left you without a plan. Guys, just repeat with me at home. No one's looking around, so you'll be okay. Just repeat these words. God has not left me without a plan. God has not left me without a plan. Guys, I firmly believe that God is not finished with you. I firmly believe that you've got a future in Him. Sometimes that future we have to wait. I think I've got a verse you can check out, some backdated on one of the videos, where I talk about Jeremiah, where God says, I won't leave you without a plan and without a hope. But sometimes we have to wait. And sometimes it's in this waiting that God does His perfecting. You know, I'm really struck by Romans 8 verse 28, which says this. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Guys, I personally don't believe God sends loads of tragedy on you, but I believe life just happens. And we can't blame God for everything, but what we can say is, from this verse here in Romans, is that God can turn around tragedy for something good. You know, God turned around tragedy for something good in this story. Obed eventually becomes granddad to King David. King David is on the line and descendants of the Messiah, of Jesus. Guys, you know, God brought something good out of tragedy here. And there's times when we can feel angry and bitter, but we need to have hope that God can do something great in our situations. We need to keep that hope burning alive in us. Hope is the most powerful thing we can have. And as I close, I just want to quickly flick back to chapter 1. I would encourage you to read it at home again. Right at the beginning of the story, we had Orpah and Ruth, Naomi's two daughter-in-laws, who both had lost their husband, who had both known despair. And Naomi says to both of them, go home. Ruth says no. Ruth says, I'm going to stick with you. And as we've seen, God has done something great through Ruth. Ruth is remembered now thousands of years later. But I always wonder what happened to Orpah. You know, Orpah went home We don't know. She could have been successful. Great things could have happened. We don't know. I'd actually say, I bet you, I'm a bottom dollar, as they say in the States, that Orpah didn't achieve as much as Ruth. Orpah could have shared in this amazing glory that Ruth shared in. But Orpah decided not to stick with Naomi, decided to go home, decided to give up. I don't blame her. You know, there's probably more security being back home. And it got me thinking, how many times have I come close to giving up on God when I could have walked away on him, when actually soon afterwards, he's come through for me. I think about my friends who have given up on God, who they were just so close to that miracle. They were so close to that breakthrough in the same way Ruth and Naomi were. But like Orpah, they left before they saw the breakthrough. They abandoned God before they saw God come through for them. And guys, I want to encourage you today. Don't lose hope. God hasn't finished with you. Don't run away from God. Don't be like Orpah. Be like Ruth. Be faithful. Be committed. Following God's commandments. Doing the basics right. Showing wisdom. The whole series of what we've shared about. Because in the end, God will come through for you. In the end, God will be there for you. In the end, God will not fail you. Guys, I just want to encourage you, don't lose hope. God has not left you. In the same way God didn't leave Naomi, God has not left you. Your greatest days lie ahead of you, even if it's an eternity with God. But don't lose hope. He hasn't finished yet.